Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Before I came into Christianity, I was a very devout so-called Thai Buddhist. I was very devout. I woke up every morning. When I was young, I would chant and pray to Buddha, pray to the statue in my house, and I went out to give food to the monk, and I was very devout to try to be a good person. But when I ended up in the university, I find out that I couldn't do it anyway. I just went into the world and have good time, have fun with the world. Start to drink, start to going in the wrong way. Until somebody told me about Christ, about Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And I turned around and gave my life to Jesus in 1981. At that time, when I gave my life to Jesus, I told the Lord this way: if you're going to change my belief from the things that I learned when I was young into Christianity, into following the Bible, into following the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm going to follow God 200%. I'm going to be a full Christian. I don't want to play game with God. If you're going to change, I want to be a real Christian. I want to be whatever God say in the Bible. And I want to go fully for God. No if and no but. God, whatever you say, I will do it, even though I don't understand. And one of the things that God say in the Bible that I really want to obey is we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the last command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. Actually gave to the disciple who will start the church in Jerusalem. And this command is not for only the pastor. This command is not only for Bible school students. This command is not only for evangelists or fivefold ministry gifts. It's for every believer to obey and to practice. And I believe with all my heart that if you obey the Great Commission, God will be on your side. You're going to see miracle and power of God. Your Christian life will be very excited. And I want to encourage all of you to obey the Great Commission. Why don't we read the Great Commission again one more time? In Matthew chapter 28, we read this many times in the church. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Therefore, you can see that Jesus said, all authority in the whole universe has been given to Jesus. And you know who is the body of Jesus? We. The church is the body of Jesus. So if he has authority, we have authority as well. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I believe that is not a sermon that is popular. The popular sermon will be like how to make a lot of money, how to be successful in life, how to have victory in life, how can I get out from the mess, how can God bless me. But when we talk about pulling up our sleeve and live for the gospel, it's not very popular. But I need to obey the Lord and preach something that is not popular and people don't like to hear. And that is to live our life to make disciples. You remember when Jesus was walking on earth 2,000 years ago, what did he do? He did not just go out and preach, but he walked along and then he called certain people. He said, "Matthew, follow me." He said, "Peter, follow me." He called people to follow him to be his disciples. And his strategy has not changed. He still called people to follow him. He still wants to make disciples. He made disciples 2,000 years ago. He still wants to make disciples today. He still wants to train people to be mature and strong Christian today in year 2007. The same thing is happening. And he said that because I have gone back to heaven already, now is the job of the church. Now this responsibility has been given to the church. You and me need to go and make disciples. you can notice that he say a few verbs here. Number one, go. What it means that we need to get out from our comfort zone to do something. I remember when I came to the U.S. the first few years, I have a chance to witness to a lot of Thai students at that time. At that time, my English was quite broken, so I could not reach out to American people. I was reaching out to Thai students, and one lady got saved, and her name is Thai. She's still sitting there. Here, Thai. And she was a brand new Thai student in America. She lived in Somerset up there in Bellevue. I was living in Northgate. And I remember I drove there from Northgate. I didn't know Bellevue very well. And I went there to her home. I and my wife began to disciple her, teaching her the Bible. And she's still sitting here serving the Lord. But making disciple. God told us that we need to make disciple. We need to go out of our comfort zone. And then what else? He said, make disciple. How to make disciple? Baptizing them and teaching them everything that God tell us and command us to do. Baptizing means identifying themselves with Jesus. You know, when you go under the water, it means that I proclaim I'm a Christian now. They need to identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then teach them everything that I have commanded you. One of the reasons we put the sermon in the podcast, one of the reasons we have all the CD series in this church and provided to you, because we want to make sure that the newcomers that come to the church will continue to learn whatever the members that have been here for a long time have learned. We want to make sure that you learn everything that God teaches you in this church at the right time, at the right season. There are seasons in the church. Sometimes, some year, God may want to speak something to the church. Like last year, I spoke a lot about the fire of God and about the power of the Holy Spirit. And this year, God wants me to talk about laying on of hand and talk about spiritual mentoring. There are seasons in the Christian walk and for each local church. And God wants us to teach everything. Therefore, the responsibility in the church is not just to go out and save soul. That's not enough. The responsibility, the job of the church is not just to open the church building a few hours a day for some kind of programs, and people come here to socialize and find a wife, find a job, and having a good time, being a social club here. A church is not just be a social club. The goal of the church is not just to add more names into the membership list. No. The goal of a church is to go out and save soul and make disciples. And that can be done by every single one of you. What I try to say in this series of sermon or teaching is that I want to really stir you up. I want to put a fire on you and encourage you not to be just the crowd, not just to be the consumer, not to be just a pew warmer. There are differences between the crowd in the time of Jesus and the disciple. I want to encourage every one of us here in this church to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to become a Christian, let's become 100%. We are not going to become 50% Christian. Let's become 100% Christian. And to become 100% Christian means disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to explain a little bit about the word disciple. The word disciple in the Greek language come from the word mathetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. And the Hebrew word, I hope I read it correctly, limud, L-I-M-M-U-W-D. What does it mean? In fact, generally the word disciple means a student that follow a teacher and agrees with the doctrine of the teacher and willing to spread that doctrine for the teacher. That is a general meaning. But the disciple of Jesus Christ is the one who decide to follow Jesus. You're not following only me, but you're following Jesus Christ. The ultimate teacher of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ, not Pastor Lau. I'm just here to help you, to bring you to Jesus. You follow Jesus. And as a disciple, listen carefully, this is a very important statement I say. As a disciple, following Jesus Christ will take precedence over everything else in your life. Amen. Following Jesus Christ will take precedence over your sleeping time, over the football game on Sunday. So quiet. over any movie, over any plan in your life. Following Jesus Christ is the most top priority in your life. That is disciple. And that's what I and Pastor Da have been doing all these years. We follow Jesus and we want to take Jesus as number one in our life. Amen. It sounds difficult. I know it sounds difficult. But Jesus never said it's easy. So the good news I want to tell you right now, to be disciple of Jesus Christ is not easy. You have to die to your flesh. You need to die to yourself. That's why Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 14, verse 27, he said, if anyone want to be my disciple, that person need to deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. The sad thing in the world as a pastor is that you have 5,000 members in the church, 2,000 members in the church, 1,000 members in the church, whatever size of the church. And when you get up to heaven, or you get up to heaven and you don't see your own pastor, because some pastor may not be born again and a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's just a job. Oh, the sad thing for a pastor like me is that I get up to heaven and I don't see many members of mine who in the list of membership come to church every Sunday, but come here just for social and for something else. But Jesus Christ never become the Lord of their life. Never take Jesus Christ first in their life. That would be very sad. My dear brother and sister, to be a disciple is not easy. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit who can help us to go through that difficulty. We are not going alone. We are not following Jesus Christ by ourselves. But we are following Jesus Christ. We take up the cross. We deny ourselves. Whatever not right in our life, we say, we are willing to give up. We are willing to get rid of it. We're willing to live a life of pure conscience, live a life of clean hands and pure heart before the Lord and serve Him. It's not easy at all. Sometimes it's very painful, but the Holy Spirit will help us. Jesus was not playing games. Jesus did not beating around the bush when He was talking about following Him. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26. This is what He said. Very strong statement He said. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow, what a strong statement. It sounds like he tried to teach us to hate people. No, no, no. In the Greek language, in the meaning of this sentence, it means that you need to love him, following him. Loving God is more important than loving other people. Other people become secondary, tertiary. Jesus, number one in your life. That's what it means. Whatever God wants. Are you following me? But in fact, thank God that if you love God with all your heart and you follow Jesus with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, believe me, you will love your dad more. You will love your mom more. You will love your children more. You will love your friend more. You will love your wife more. You will love your husband more. You love your parents more, because the love of God will flood your heart and you start to love more people more. So the key is to love Jesus with all your heart, is to follow Him and become His disciple. Amen. Let's kind of look back. Let's play the movie back 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was walking on earth, what did the disciple do? The disciple did not stay home and watch TV. They walked with Jesus every day. They follow Jesus. They sat around Jesus. They are willing to receive His teaching. They are willing to receive His correction. Sometimes Jesus corrected His disciples. You are the people of little faith. You remember? He corrected them. They are willing to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus sometimes taught them in parables. Sometimes He showed them how to serve God. They watch Him. They did not even only listen to the teaching by their ears, but with their eyes, with their hands, they touched Him. They saw Him lay hand on the sick. They observed how Jesus walked. Jesus was their perfect model. Jesus showed the way to walk on earth. That is the disciple. To follow Jesus and to learn from Him and to really receive the teaching into their heart. And I want all of you to be that kind of people. I don't want you to be consumers. I heard people say like this all the time. When I heard that, the Holy Spirit was so grieved. Oh, that church doesn't have anything to offer to me. they don't treat me right. So I'm leaving to the church that give me something. That is a consumer attitude. Actually, whatever church you choose should be this way. God, Father, I am your disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. What church you want me to be in? Even though it's not perfect, even though they don't offer anything to me, I'm going to be there. And believe me, God can offer to you anyway because you obey God. In fact, sometimes God allows you to go through some disappointment to really show who you are. Do you know that? Sometimes disappointment makes you realize who you are. He wants to expose you that what kind of things is on the inside of you. Amen. So we should not be the kind of Christian that, oh, if you give me something, I do something for you. No, no, no. We should be like this. Jesus, I deny myself. I take up the cross. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you say. And I know if I do that, you're going to provide me. You're going to take care of me anyway. I will follow you. In the time of Jesus, unfortunately, there are two kinds of people. And I still see it today too. And I pray that there will be less the second kind of people in this church. One group, actually three kinds. One group is disciple. Peter, John, James follow Jesus everywhere. They learn from Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They sat down with Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, they went with Jesus, following Jesus. But another group of people we call the crowd. C-R-O-W-D. The crowd are those people who come to Jesus to get some benefit. Give me some healing. Give me some deliverance. Give me something. Give me food to eat. Let's multiply the bread and give me something to eat and drink. The Bible says clearly in John chapter 6, when Jesus began to give difficult teachings, if you want to have eternal life, you need to eat my blood and my flesh. The Bible says lots of people walk away from Jesus. A lot of people just say, this is too hard a teaching. I don't want this guy anymore. I just want benefit from him. I am leaving. I'm leaving this church. The pastor named Jesus. This is too hard. But who left behind? The disciples. I don't want to build a church full of the crowd. I want to build a church full of disciples who are going to shake the nations, who are going to make impact in society, make a big impact in the school, make a big impact in wherever you go. We want to make disciples in the church. Amen. So I pray that you will not be like those people. This is too hard, the teaching. Oh, the pastor is too mean, too strong. He says something about my mistake and he corrected me. I'm leaving right now. I pack the luggage and go. I go to the church where the pastor is nicer to me. Pat on my back and nice to me. Actually, I never been mean to you anyway. Thank God. I never spit on you anyway. Hallelujah. Even Jesus spit on people, do you know that? But another group of people, oh, I see this all the time. People come in and just try to analyze you. Your teaching is correct or not? You do the right thing or not? Those group of people are the Pharisees. The Pharisees are full of the demon of religions. You know this one thing? People with demon of religion are those people who come and have a magnifying glass and see what's wrong with you, what wrong things you do, and they try to find faults with you. That is spirit of religion. So we need to get rid of that spirit. We are not in the church to judge anybody. We are not in the church to find faults with anybody. We are in the church to love, to support one another. Jesus never say, judge them first and judge yourself. He said, first, pull out the stick out of your eyes. Amen. So we are not here to judge anybody. Well, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the religious leaders. But be like the disciple. Just follow Jesus and serve people and love people. That is the disciple. I can still see today three kinds of people around me. The disciple, the crowd, and the Pharisees. I pray that you will let God deal with you if you are not the disciple yet. And change and turn around and say, I'm going to deny myself. Take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave that responsibility to the church. He said, go and make disciples. So in our church, I will obey the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to build a social club. I'm not going to build a church that full of consumers. Bless me club. We're going to build a church that's full of the disciples. Those who put up their sleeve and say, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be anointed. I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to leave a legacy behind me. I'm going to be disciple. Human produce human. Is that right? Have you ever seen human produce a horse? No. Have you ever seen a human produce a monkey? No. Human produce human. Monkey produce monkey. Horse produce horse. The same thing. You cannot make disciple until you become disciple. Disciple produce disciple. You need to be disciple first. You need to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you produce your own kind. Amen. You produce your own kind. I told you this story all the time that as a doctor, I sit in my office. Many times when I saw people come in and we ask, what religion? They write it down. And I begin to talk to some of my patients. I can tell right away what church they come from. Because the pastor produced their own kind. They produce their own kind. Whatever what happened in that church, the member look like that. So you produce your own kind. You need to be disciple to make disciple. If you're judgmental, you're going to produce judgmental people. If you're loving people, you're going to be producing loving people. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the command of the Lord Jesus in Acts. Wow, this is a very popular teaching. I know you love it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd. Everyone say shepherd. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit did not tell the writer of the book of Acts that go and make a big stadium with a big group of people who are consumers. Come and yeah, having fun. Oh, treat me well. No, bless me. No, he say, go and shepherd the flock. Make disciple. Make this sheep strong. Make them disciple of Jesus Christ. Make them the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 21, verses 16 to 17. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. How do you know that you love Jesus? Very simple. You know that you love Jesus not by your mouth what you say, by your action. You love Jesus when you obey his word. You love the church. You know why I say that you love Jesus by loving the church? Because the church is the body of Jesus. How can I love Da's head only and doesn't love her body? Is that right? I need to love the whole body. I need to love her head and her body. Amen. So if I love Jesus, I love the church. The same thing, people who love Jesus will love the church. In fact, as you know, I have been going to Thailand lately to spread the fire of revival. And the Lord spoke to me this. Don't go to build any organization. Don't be a head of any organization. I love my churches in Thailand. Go and bless all the churches. And when God spoke to me, I sense it. He loved Presbyterian. He loved Baptist. He loved Pentecostal. He loved Methodist. I sense in my spirit that God never judged them. God never point finger to them and scold them. God loved these churches, no matter what background they are or what kind of denomination. So I say, God, I'm going to go to Thailand with that attitude. I'm going to love every pastor. I'm going to love every church because you love your church. If I loved you, I loved your church. And not only that, the third sign of loving Jesus is when you become a new believer, you grow up a little bit more, you begin to care for other believers. You are concerned about them. You show love to Jesus by showing love and taking care of other believers. That we call making disciple and or mentoring. We begin to live our life to help other people to grow. We spend our life. We spend our energy. We want to go and help people. Amen. And in this class or in this lesson, we're going to learn in detail how many kinds of mentoring, how many kinds of discipleship. And you can find out what kind you fit in. Because we are not the jack of all trades. We cannot do everything. Is that right? Not everyone is a teacher like me. Not everyone is a pastor. But you can be a part. Number one, you will be a disciple. And number two, you will be a part of making disciples in the local church. You get involved in helping other people to grow. Amen. So our church believing in winning souls and making disciples. Pull the people out from the system of the world and get them connected with the Lord Jesus Christ and help them to find the calling, the gifts, the talents, the passion in their life, and help them to fulfill that passion. Amen. I was standing there looking at Alan, playing guitar a while ago, Alan Chi. And I was thinking, thank God for the youth group and the youth team that helped these young people, including Alan, to find their gifting. I was standing there wondering, how old is Alan? Alan, how old are you? 15. Okay. You cannot have a girlfriend yet. You're too young. Even though you're good looking. I was wondering how come this guy can play and sing at the same time. For me, only to sing is a big deal already. Just to sing right key. But he just play and sing. And I can see that God gave him the talent and the gift. And I was thinking, standing there, wow, if it's God's will, and Alan become a very powerful worship leader in the body of Christ one day. This young man will go out to the cities, to the nations, and lead worship. Right now, he's still shy because he's young and still new. Like, no, he's scared. But one day, he may be a powerful like worship leader. And that's what the church needs to do to help people to find their gifts, their talents, their calling, and support them and encourage them and get them going with the calling of God. Amen. That's what we're going to do, is to help people. Amen. In that process of discipleship, after we bring people into the kingdom, what do? Number one, we make sure that they connect themselves to a local church. Jesus wants every believer to be a part of a local church. Amen. You cannot grow without being a part of a local church. Joining into a local church, joining into a small group, because in that local church, you're going to grow. And then, in the process of discipleship, we help people to grow spiritually to become a mature Christian. We want to see everybody grow mature. Amen. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for Da. Da and I have different personality. I'm a teacher. I like to teach, but I don't like to confront people. When something wrong in the church, I have a hard time calling people in and look at eyes to eyes and confront, because I'm a younger son in the house. So I don't like to confront, because I always get confronted by my brother and sister, older. So I'm scared of being confronted. So I don't like to confront people. But Pastor Da is the older sister. If she sees something wrong in the church, she will call you up and say, "Can I meet you?" No, her voice is not like that. "Can I meet you?" That process of meeting and confrontation is to help you to grow. Not that we are against you or we don't love you. We try to help you to be mature, to have the right character, to live a life. You know, this couple two or three days, God speak to me like this. "Son, make sure you and your church will live a life of pure conscience in here. Whatever you do, you know deep in your heart that you don't have any hidden agenda. You don't have any wrong motive. Pure conscience. Clean hands and a pure heart." Amen. So that's what kind of church we want to build. A church that people will come together and grow in maturity to become people of pure conscience, clean hands, and pure heart. And then we train them, we help them. That's why we have a class called Discovering Ministry coming up in April. We're going to teach you how to discover who you are, what God made you to be, and what God made you to do, so that you can discover your ministry, You can serve God according to what God make you to be and to do. Not my calling to you. It's God's calling for you. Amen. Some of you may be called to be a pastor. Some of you may be called to be a teacher, whatever, or supporting in the ministry. God will use you that way. And then after that, you can go out and share the gospel with other people. So that is the process that we want to see in the church. Now, let me share with you the benefits of spiritual mentoring or discipleship. Discipleship or mentoring. In fact, there is a word in the Bible called shepherd. But I avoid using the word shepherding in America because at the time of baby boomers, around 1960, 70, there is a big problem in the body of Christ in America. Some of you are in that generation. You are in that generation that there is a big movement in America called shepherding movement. At that time, in the shepherding movement, unfortunately, they shepherd people in the wrong way. The leadership in the church control people, who they're going to marry to, what house they're going to buy, what city they're going to live in, they control. So the word shepherding in America is a negative word because of that experience at the time of the hippies and the time of the baby boomers. When I first came to America, I used the word shepherding because I came from Thailand. I didn't know what happened in America. A lot of people look at me, ooh, shepherding. Ah, now I understand because I began to understand what happened in the U.S. many years ago. So we use the word mentoring. There are benefits of discipling people or mentoring people. The first thing about benefits of mentoring is that spiritual mentoring will promote spiritual formation, growth, and spiritual change, life-changing process. You will never grow if you are not in the process of mentoring, or you may grow so slowly. I have seen 20-year-old Christian who is still very immature and act like a baby Christian because they've never been mentored. There is a powerful testimony from Ashley that I want to put that in the website too. She said that she first came to our church and she was so scared to see laying on of hand and people fall down. And she did not want to come back, but eventually God pulled her back here. And she said that one of the reason she grows so much because, number one, we have the fire of God in the church. And number two, because Joanne and Brandy disciple her. Grab her in as a younger sister. Teach her the Bible. Help her to grow. Call her, email her, talk to her, spend time with her. Without spiritual mentoring, people will not grow that fast. Why? I can quote you from the word. Have you ever heard the word person? Is that right in English? The word person comes from the Latin language, the word persona. Persona comes from the Greek language, prosopon. Prosopon means face to face. In other words, you cannot become a real person that God wants you to be. You cannot be a real man of God without the situation called face to face. What does it mean, face to face? You will never grow to become the mature person without interaction with somebody else, without being in a community, being discipled, being kind of relationship. Iron sharpens iron. You need somebody else to come and sharpen you. You need somebody else to come and help you to grow. Face to face, relationship, interaction inside the church. You will grow, become a real person of God. In fact, there is a word called individual. Individual means a person too, is right? Each individual, each person. The word individual comes from the Latin language, individus. Individus means not divisible. In other words, to become a real person, you cannot divide yourself from the community. You need to be in the community. You need to be disciple. You need to have interaction with other believers, face to face. And that's why we have care groups. That's why we have fellowship group in the church, so that you have a chance to practice face to face. Have a chance to practice interaction in the church. Somebody may rub you in the wrong way, stepping on your toes. In fact, I want to encourage you. One thing that if somebody else have done something wrong in the church, Actually, you should pray for them, love them, help them. And at the same time, it will help you to learn how to love unconditionally. Because there is no perfection in the church. Everyone has some problem. We need to love one another. And that helps us to grow by learning how to love people unconditionally. Don't just get out of my life, get out of my way. No, no, no. Discipleship involves loving, forgiving, and being patient with one another. Amen? So we learn best by being together as a community, in the community of believers. Amen. Second benefits of mentoring is that in the mentoring process, we will have biblical model to follow. Everyone say, biblical model. I thank God that the University of Washington did not train me to become a neurosurgeon in the classroom. You sit in the classroom for 10 years, learning anatomy, learning how to open the brain in the classroom, how to open the brain. And one day they send me out to the community and start to open somebody's brain. What do they do to train a neurosurgeon? They teach me in the classroom and they put me in the operating room. The professor will show me how to shave the hair and how to cut, how to drill the hole in the skull, get the skull off, and how to put a retractor under the brain and get into that brain tumor. He showed me, I was standing there, help him to do suction and watch how to take the tumor out. And a few times later, don't be scared, I'm not cutting on you. After a few times, they let me start to drill the hole, and the professor stand there. Oh, no, you have to move your hand this way, Dick. He grabbed my hand and know how to put the hole. And then I need to use a saw to open the skull, and then the professor will grab my hand, and this is how you cut. He was standing there for a few times. Maybe after 10 times, the professor is in the room doing his computer, and I'm doing the cut myself. I open the cut myself, but then the intern standing close to me, the first year resident, the second year resident, stand with me, and I say, hey, intern, this is how you make a hole. I show you. And then you make a hole, and I show you that usually these people make a hole at around after midnight. During the day, all the professor and chief resident will do the job. But after midnight, everyone go to bed, so the intern will make a hole. So you learn by modeling, example, grab the hand to show. In fact, University of Washington grabbed the hold of the biblical principle of modeling people. But the church doesn't do anything. The secular world borrow the system of the Bible to model, to train people by helping them, showing them what to do. But in the church, people just come in, listen to nice sermon, right at noon, boom, gone. Never hang out together, never learn anything, never come and say, can I get trained? Can you train me? Or can I train you? And that's why we have a hard time winning the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't make disciples. A renowned psychologist named Albert Bandura from Stanford University said this way, most human behavior is learned through observation of a model. Modeling is an effective form of unconscious learning. For example, you can read all the books about being a father, but you learn the most about being a father from your dad, how he walked, how he responds to situation, how he deal with people. You watch your dad. You learn from modeling. And that's why it's so important, all the men in this room, you need to grow very fast to be a good model to your kids. Because they see you. Is that right? If the dad comes to church on Sunday and praise God, the kids watch. Maybe they don't do it the first few Sundays because they want to look cool. Teenager, they kind of. If I raise hand like this, maybe it doesn't look cool. So I'm going to stand like this for a while. But by 25 years old, they grow up. They see their dad raise hand, worship God, gung-ho for God, love God. When they turn 25, they begin to raise their hand too. Because they learn from their dad. Is that right? Modeling people, being example to people is the best way to learn. Do you notice that? You learn by watching other people's life. In fact, God was doing that 2,000 years ago. God has a good time in heaven. He doesn't have to be here. But God incarnated into the womb of Mary, birthed to be a child, and grow up and walking on earth for 33 years. In the period of 3.5 years, Jesus was a model to his disciple. He showed how to teach. He showed how to respond to the Pharisees. How he used the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom. How he handled the wind and the storm. How he can handle when they don't have enough food to eat. He showed them. He became a model to all of them on earth. He did not send a cow to be model to us. He did not send a monkey or an ape to be a model to us. He became a human. And he was walking for 3.5 years to show how a man or a woman of God filled with the anointing, loving the Father, will live on earth by life example. He taught them. He taught the disciple more on his lifestyle that they can touch, they can smell, they can taste, they can see more than what he say from his mouth. People learn from each other by life experience, by watching your life more than anything else. That's why discipleship involves being a good model. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen, you see, the disciple did not say, we have heard. He said, we have seen his glory. Jesus was a model to them that they can see. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace. So when the disciples saw Jesus, they like, oh, he is so full of grace. He is full of truth. This man named Jesus, walking around, being a model of truth and grace. If you want to become like Jesus, be a gracious person. Amen. Don't be too hard on people. Being full of truth, being truthful. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't play game. Be truthful to one another. Jesus was a model of being full of truth and full of grace. Look at another example in John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. You remember Philip asked Jesus, please show me the Father. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. He followed the footsteps of the Father, and then the disciple can see the Father through him. He is an example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter said like this, that you should follow in Jesus' footsteps. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said like this, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say to people around you that follow my example? Look at my lifestyle. Look at the way I act. Look at the way I behave. The way I respond to situation, the way I talk to people, the way I love people. Can you say, follow me as I follow Christ? I want to challenge all of you to be disciple and also to make disciple by being a good model to other people. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, at one time, people come to tell me, you know, you need to be Northwestern. Northwestern is like this, T-shirt and jean and come up with sticking hair and look cool. You go to Microsoft or the programmer, they wear T-shirt, they wear jean, they kind of look cool. I'm not against those things. And they say, Pastor, you need to be like that to pull in the Microsoft people. You look like them. I say, I'm sorry. I need to be a model. I need to dress to honor God. I cannot come here and just look like the world. I'm not going to go down to make the world like me so that they can come to me. I'm going to have to be model in the church. Amen. I dental floss my teeth every morning. I brush my teeth 5 times a day or 10 times a day. I keep myself clean, wash my hair every day. I want to be a model in the church that as a minister, I need to be clean. I need to be nice. I need to take care of myself. Everything in your life, you are a model. How I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, everything. We are a model. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me read this scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9. Look at Paul say, for you yourself know how you ought to follow us. Everyone say, follow us. For we were not disorderly among you. You see, Paul say, I'm not disorderly. I'm not in a mess. My life is a mess. Follow me so they will become a mess too. He didn't say that. He said, oh, we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that might not be a burden to any one of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul said like this, I'm denied to take money from the church. I'm going to make tents. I'm going to work hard to show all of you that I'm not serving God for money. I'm not here for finances. I'm here because I loved you. Paul set a good example by not serving God for money. Nothing wrong about giving salary to the pastor and to the full-time workers in the church. Nothing wrong. But the attitude, we're not serving God for money. We're serving God because of the calling. Paul set a good example. Look at another scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Can we say like that in our care group? You can be imitators of us. Look at our life. Look at this model, godly model. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. You can say that. Imitate us, Paul said. Imitate our team here, us, the leadership, and imitate God, so that eventually, after you are discipled by us, you become strong Christian. You can be example to all the believers in Macedonia. You see the model of discipleship? God disciple us. We are disciple. We disciple other people, and they can become example to other people from generation to generation to generation. Amen. Hallelujah. So therefore, we're going to learn in detail in this class how to do spiritual mentoring. How many kinds of mentoring? How you get involved in mentoring in the church? Amen. Look at the last benefit of mentoring. And I think I will stop here and continue on Tuesday night at the ministry training class. The third one, spiritual mentoring provides accountability. Everyone say accountability. Why we need accountability? Accountability means responsible to somebody. I am responsible to the eldership in this church. If I do anything wrong, they can correct me. If I misuse the fund, they will come to my face and say, Pastor Lau, repent. I give you an example. I'm responsible to somebody. Somebody can correct me. Accountability is important. Why? Let me share with you. Because it will help us to start well, run the race well, and finish well. If you study about church history in America, I learned that about 1970 or something, there were about 20 prophets in America. More than 20 prophets. And 20, out of these 20 or 22, only two left now still in the ministry. All the rest fell into sin and gone. This is a big problem in the body of Christ, especially top leaders, people in the top in the church. They don't have any accountability. They don't need to report to anybody. No one can correct them. They don't need to learn from anybody else. I know it all. I'm great. I'm an anointed person. And you know, that is dangerous. Whenever you have no one can correct you, no one can really come to you and say you are wrong. You are walking the wrong way. You are at risk of not finishing well. You will fall off from the race God put you to run in the middle. We need to learn how to have accountability with one another in the body of Christ. We call circle of accountabilities. People can correct one another. This is a process of discipleship. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to finish well. He wants to get rid of you. He wants to get rid of me and you. He will put something in front of us. And many ministers and many disciples fell. For example, sexual temptation. So many people fell into sin, sexual sin. abuse of power. I've seen that all the time. People begin to have power, then they start to control. They start to manipulate. They use their puppet, their mouth to speak, to manipulate money, manipulate things into their own benefit. That is abuse. Or pride, or family relationship. Have problem between husband and wife. Financial irresponsibility. And loss of learning posture. Never want to learn from anyone else. I know it all. All these things can make a person fall. Pride. Big problem. You cannot correct me. I know it all. You cannot speak into my life. I don't care. I'm going to do my own way. In the process of spiritual mentoring, there is accountability. Amen. Don't be a loner Christian. Don't use the worldly system called individualism. Oh, I and Jesus. I and myself. I don't need anyone to tell me what's wrong with me. That is dangerous. God wants all of us to start well, to serve and run the race well, and to finish well. He wants us to go into the promised land. He doesn't want us to be like the first generation of the Jews that died in the desert, in the wilderness. We're going to go into the promised land. We run the race to the end. The Jewish people at that time did not listen to Moses. They were stubborn. Moses corrected them. God sent many calamities to them, but they're still stubborn. They did not want to listen. And they all died in the desert. Only two persons in that generation could enter the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. We don't want to be that generation. We need to have accountability. We need to listen to one another. Amen. We don't know it all. Believe me, this is a true story. Pastor Da discipled me too. Sometimes I make the wrong choice in the church. I consult with her. She said, no, Mom, this is not the right way. I think you need to pray about it again. Sometimes she wants to do something. I say, Da, I don't think this is the right way. Look at the Bible. We need to do another way. We accountable to each other. We are accountable to each other in the church. We are willing to receive. We are willing to learn from one another because we don't know it all. We may have some weaknesses in our life that sometimes we make wrong choices. That's why it's good to have good counselor around us, receive godly counsel from one another. Amen? Hallelujah. How many people feel that I need to be disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? How many people say, I'm going to live my life to make disciples? You're going to learn more about making disciples. Amen. I already show you one example here in this church. Many years ago, we reached out to a lot of people from the street, homeless people. And only a few willing to be disciples. Not everyone wants to be disciples. They can come and give food, you know, hot soup, nice coat, or give me nice coat in winter. But don't touch me. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me. I just want to get saved. I want to just have Jesus. But Nita, willing to join the church. John Wilde, willing to join the church. Now John came out from that situation too. And eventually, they went to school. They were disciples in the church. They're willing to be corrected. You know, I really respect John. Every time I and Pastor Da corrected him, he just, yes, I'm wrong. He's a good man. So we see that. I mean, no one is perfect. Everyone comes with flaw and with weakness in their life. And that's why we have a church to clean up people, wash them, clean them up, make them nice. So look at Nita now, have a job, have beautiful family, and I mean, that her kids serve God now. This is a process of discipleship. Not just feeding and giving good food, but we need to disciple people. I mean, I know not everybody wants to be disciple. I understand. We still give them food anyway. We still love them. But the bottom line that I want to say is this. Without making disciples, we will not produce the right kind of Christian. And many times, I tell you, those who make the name of God bad the most in the world is not people who commit. People who say, I believe in Jesus, but they still live like a devil. Because they've never been disciples. And cause all the people out there who don't know Jesus, look down on our Jesus. I will not let that happen in this church. I will make sure that all of you a disciple, grow, become strong. Amen. And let's do that together in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word that come to the church today. Father, we want to be devoted Christians, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you say in the Bible, Father, we want to follow. We want to obey. Father, help this church. Help us organizationally, Lord. Help us to make sure that every member will be mentored, will be trained, will grow. Help us to train people, Lord, that they will go out and train other people. Help us, Father, to be a good model to the younger believers, to our kids, to, Lord, the youth and young people in the church, Father. Help us to deny ourselves by the Holy Spirit. Pick up the cross and follow you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you never know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to encourage you to give your life to Jesus today. How many people agree with me that we are all sinners? How many people never lie in one time in your life? Raise your hand up. Never lies. You have lies, all right? How many people never have a feeling that you hate somebody? Raise your hand up. One time in your life. All of us have sinned and done wrong against God. And that's why there are only two options that you can go to heaven. Only two ways that you can go to heaven. Number one, you are perfect 100% from the day you were born to the day you die. Never sinned even one time. How many people can do that? Raise your hand up. Never done wrong in your life even one time. But thank God there's another way. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died and paid for our sin. Whatever sin in the past, whatever sin today, and sin in the future, he said, I forgive, I pay for you. You just follow me, and I will teach you the way to walk. Because God knows we are not perfect. We sin. That's why he died for us. I want to encourage many of you today who don't know Christ, who never been born again, and you are not sure that your name is recorded in the book of life in heaven, to give your life to Jesus and say, yes, God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Please come into my life, Jesus. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Is there anyone in this room that I'm not sure you're going to go to heaven and you say, I want to go to heaven? Anyone want to go to heaven? Raise your hand up. If you never invite Jesus Christ into your life, I want to encourage you to receive the forgiveness of Christ. Invite him to come into your life today. And don't be ashamed, don't be shy, because one day when you go to heaven, God is not ashamed of you either. If you want to do that, I'd like to really encourage you to stand up and pray with me right now. One of the reasons I lay hand on you to receive the fire of God, because I love you so much. Yesterday, God spoke to me to share this with you before I lay hand. God said that there are three kinds of fires. Three kinds of fire. The first fire is the fire of hell. If you don't receive Christ, you go through the fire of hell. And this fire is for eternity. You are in hell for eternity. And thank God that those who accept Christ, you then need to go to the fire of eternity. The second kind of fire, we call the fire of adversity. The fire of hardship. God sometimes allows you to go through hardships for two reasons. The first reason that God allows you to go through the fire of adversity and hardship, because he wants to show you who you are. You will never know who you are until you get pressure. You never know that you are selfish. You never know that you are lacking of faith until you face the problem. And second reason he allows you to go through the fire of hardships is to mold you and change you to become more like Christ. You come out of that hardship, become more like Christ. Amen. But the third fire is a shortcut. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of holiness. That fire come by the Holy Spirit. And when the fire of God touch you, and many times you use the laying on of hand in the church, that fire will come and burn and purge unholy things in your life. So you become more pure and become a pure gold faster. This is a shortcut so that you don't need to go through the fire of adversity. In the fire of God, in the fire of holiness, or the fire of Holy Spirit, God cannot show you. He's going to expose your heart when you get touched by God. He will burn the wrong things out of your life so that you will become more purified, more pure, sooner than later. God told me that, encourage the congregation. Three fire you want. How many people want the fire of hell? Raise your hand up. No one want the fire of hell? You don't want to go to hell. How many people want to go through the fire of adversity and hardships many, many times in your life to mold you and change you? Raise your hand up. No one. So you pick the last fire. If you go through the last fire more, less chance of going through hardships because you are purified by His fire. God doesn't have to send another kind of fire to change you. Because you repent fast, you change fast, God get rid of the wrong things in your life as soon as possible. Thank God for the fire of the holiness. The fire that mentioned in Malachi chapter 3. He said that I send my fire to burn and to cleanse you. That's what happened to me and Pastor Da since 1997 when we have been in the fire of God. God changes every single Sunday in the fire. You know that when I lay hand on you, the fire of God passed through me too. So He cleansed me. He spoke to me too. He deal with me. He operate on me. He cut on me. Operate to get rid of all the junks in my life so that I can become more and more pure like Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people think that you still have many, many impurities that you need to be cleansed by the Lord? Impurities and wrong thinking, many things that you need to be purified. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.